Well, we're in looking at true spirituality, implying that there is a false spirituality that's being promoted by the world and by preachers today. People that are not interested in preaching the Word of God, they're only interested in gathering a group and getting a big salary and doing these things that are just not doing what God wants to be done. And the people that are always after trying to make what the Bible says more in line with what the world thinks. And this is destructive to Christianity. So my meditations on the book, True Spirituality, by Dr. Francis Schaeffer, who was urging us to get the gospel into the culture of our time and get this, understand what's going on with them. And so we're looking at freedom from the results of the bonds of sin. We've looked at freedom from conscience, having a guilty conscience. And then today, we want to look at freedom for our thought life. So this concept, let me just emphasize the concept and the importance of thought life. Religion, the world's religion, is all about doing. It's all about having rituals, having prayers that you memorize and say. I don't know if you realize that Islam, they don't pray. They give prayers. They memorize Arabic prayers. So no matter what language you live in, you memorize these and you say those to God. This is just ritual. Places where instead of praying, they have a prayer wheel, you know. You spin this, it's something written on it, and it spins around, and you don't have to say anything. You don't have to think anything. You just spin this around, let the prayers go off to their gods. And so they make all this stuff up, and then they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to think about it. They just want to do the rituals, you know, put their time in across the street. You go to church to satisfy God with your life, and then you go off and you can live any way you want. If you slip up, you just go to confession, you say what you did, then the priest takes care of everything. Christianity is different. Christianity is not this at all. It is primarily part of the thought life. Let's look at the importance of this. The thought life itself comes first in the human. You're not born like the animals, born doing and eating and chasing and whatever. You're born rather helpless. So at birth, we are awakened to the outside world in a flurry of sight and sound and touch, and we don't know what to make of it all. We just have sensory input. But what does it mean? We don't know. People used to think babies were blind because they couldn't see. No, they could see all right, they just didn't know what that was. You have all this, you know, sight and light and color, and it's all coming in, but what is it, you know? If you haven't experienced, if you haven't touched, if you haven't been around things, you don't know what it is. But then, bit by bit, God made the mind in such a way that we learn that our body and its senses are a bridge to the outside world. That these are things actually going on out there, and we're beginning to take it in. So bit by bit, we understand the meanings of our senses and are able to navigate our inner being, riding as our head is on top of the body. Our eyes begin to follow mother's face. We watch this with our children, that instead of just eyes wandering like this, where the voice was coming from, where mommy's face was there, they began to follow mommy's face, especially mommy's face, and then others. Then the arms and the hands and the fingers began to reach for desired things. It found out that this wiggly thing that they could see is actually them And then they touch something, you know. And my daughter Kathleen, we were paying special attention to our first one, you know. And she had a lot of hair, even when she was born. And these hands were just searching, reaching around. And she'd be on the table, we're changing the diaper or something. She'd reach up and grab a hair and pull on it. And then somebody hurt her. She'd cry, hey. So we had to tell her, no, that's you. You're doing that. And so undo that hand from her own hair. So thought life is the first. It is that which puts the motion of things into being. So let us follow the established order of things in Romans 1, 21 to 32. And in doing this, see how God sees it from his outside position. Mankind, various cultures, like the American culture, began with the relatively accurate knowledge of God. Because of persecution, because of other things, these people resorted to the Word of God. Now, they had, a lot of these were Reformed people, and so they came and made same mistakes that the religion had made in the old country, and that was that their government would establish the religion. This has been the way of world religions forever. It was only Christianity that tried to win people to their religion. Everybody else, the king would have a religion, and then everybody else had to do that. And so if you wanted to change somebody's religion, you had to go over and convert the king or conquer him, put in a new king. And so, you know, that's the way of things. Nobody had ever heard of winning individuals to your religion. You may choose to adopt somebody else's religion, but that's, you know. And a lot of the religions were secretive, and you had to meet certain pass initiations to become part of it. And then you learned the secret knowledge and so on. So it was like the opposite of trying to win people to their religion. They were only looking for a few good men, you see. And the idea here is that when they began correctly, and right away we had Baptists who said, no, we don't want the government telling us what to do. Separation of church and religion. That was a Baptist thought. They weren't saying don't have the government do anything with God. They were saying just don't let them tell us how to live, because the Baptists were always persecuted, even long before the Reformation. Whatever religion was popular at the time, or whatever land they were living in, they would persecute them because they wouldn't follow the standard religions. They knew what they believed, and they believed what the Bible said. So finally, they broke away from this Reformed thinking and established, where was it, up in Massachusetts, Rhode Island? Yeah, Rhode Island. Had a Baptist place, and they finally were delivered from this. But anyway, all of that to say, they were primarily following what the Word of God said, best they could understand it. And then things fell apart. I was teaching, by request, American literature. And I found that the earliest literature was all about God, was all about Bible stories, was all about urging people to adopt biblical thinking. And then right away people said, yeah, but, you know, we're kind of tired of that. And so the big thing was, we don't want to be talking about everybody's sinful. You know, that's such a downer, making us feel like we can't do anything right and good. But pretty much all of us are good. And this was the great anti-Bible. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But this thinking said, no, we're pretty good. And we don't want to become bad. The Bible says, sorry, you're already bad. This is the way you started out. You need saved to get rid of your sin condition. And they said, no, we're good until we do something bad, and then that's something else. Well, this began then, and the Bible was able to trace this And the apostle tells us in this passage the progress of degeneration into sin. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, he's just talking about how if you look around at nature, God is telling the mankind that God exists, that the things made were made by somebody who created them. And the greatness of creation, as wonderful as it is, indicates that there was somebody even greater than that who could make that, who could figure it out, who could establish it. And so they knew that. But then two things happened within their thinking. Two things in the thought life degraded this. Number one, they glorified him not as God. Maybe as something, maybe as a good advisor, good counselor, good advice about living healthy or something. But they glorified him not as God. And then secondly, neither were thankful. If you really understand what God is giving you, what God is offering you, if you really understand the improved life that God offers in the Bible, then every day you can be thankful. Now, once this happened within their thinking, then there were two consequences. And the consequences were also mental. But number one, became vain. This is the word meaning empty or foolish in their imaginations. And this word imagination is not just fantasy thinking. This is the word that is kind of a picturing a speaking back and forth, a dialogue within your within your own mind. This is where you're reasoning, you see, where you think this and then you think maybe not that. And this is the reasonings. That's what this is talking about. So they're very reasonings. And they were saying reason will lead us to truth. Reason can only tell you if you're being inconsistent with the thing you started with. Reason can't lead you to truth. It can only guarantee that you stay within what you started with if you're getting off track. So if you start with an error, you can be very logical and stay within that error. But they were saying it'll lead us to truth. Well, it can't lead us to truth. That in itself was foolishness. And then number two, their foolish heart was darkened. This word for foolish is a negative word meaning without understanding, without a comprehension. So the heart, so the reasonings here really focusing on the thinking, the mind. And the heart then, by contrast, or by comparison, if you will, is talking about how they felt about things, what they loved and what they hated. And so the desire part of man, the emotional part of man, was left without understanding, as though you could just love whatever you wanted and choose whatever you wanted and it wouldn't make any difference. Now, this led to two outward actions in the physical world. Verse 22, number one, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they say, look at us. We are thinking things that haven't been thought. We are wise. We are so progressive. See, that's the word today, isn't it? Progressive. We're not conservative. We're not sticking with the old ways. We are progressive. So they proclaimed themselves wise. But in doing that, it is like saying we've invented a new math based on how we feel. Well, just try building your spaceship or your new car based on that kind of math, see. And it falls apart. It explodes. So you're a fool. And then number two, verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And they said, well, you know, this idea that you old people had about God, interesting in itself, but not very relatable to us. So we are going to honor, you know, you just look around and see what is being honored today. You know, it's nature, it's the animals, it's all of this stuff. This is part of this whole degeneration. So now they think that they have proclaimed themselves free from God and his binding restrictions. So having withdrawn from the restrictions of the loving God, certain life patterns emerge. This is what God was trying to keep us from. This is that which is bad for us that he was trying to protect us from. He was holding us back from these life patterns. Verse 24, the first thing is, wherefore God also gave them up. Gave them up means that he let them go. He allowed them. He permitted them to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. The hearts had become without understanding, so now they had lust, and to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. To dishonor is to violate them. And I don't want to get into how unclean all this modern lifestyle stuff is, but that's a perfect word for it. Purity is the opposite of this uncleanness. And putting parts of your body into places that never should have been put into. See? And then verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They're calling it the truth, but it's a lie. And worshipped and served the creature more, or rather, than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So, now lifestyle patterns emerge. They tend to that which is unclean, that promotes a filthy lifestyle. And you can't read the Bible without conviction about such stuff. So they changed the truth of God into a lie. And now they worship the creature. This is where man is no better than the animal. And so if you kill a cow to eat it, you are committing cannibalism. You know? All this weirdness where God says, I gave the animals for food. I gave the animals for clothing. I gave the animals for all these. So they're departing from God. But what they don't realize is that such a choice destroys them, because God is the God of light and love and life. And you remove yourself from light, you end up in darkness. From love, you end up in despair. From life, you end up in that which tends to death. And we find four consequences that come from pulling yourself away from God. The uncleanness through their lust that was mentioned, it degenerates to the lowest level. And God says, not me, God says, verse 26, number one, for this cause God gave them up. Here again, he allowed them to move into that which was vile. This is disgraceful. This is dishonorable affections. This is that which is shameful. And they just jumped into it. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. This is what they're trying to destroy now, the idea of nature, that something is natural, that men and women are natural, you see. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. This is the word for shameful. Doing that which is shameful. And the consequences, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. This is the word meaning necessary. You do certain things and it affects your body, it affects your health, it ruins the body's structure, It's necessary. It just has to happen. And then they're at the place where they're promoting that which is against their own body. So their ability to rationally choose a better lifestyle degenerates into complete lack of discernment. They can't tell what's good or bad. Verse 28, the second main consequence. And even as they did not like to retain or acknowledge God in their knowledge, God gave them over, permitted them again, to a reprobate mind. Now, reprobate, the old Calvinists would say, well, a reprobate means people that God shows to hell. That's not what reprobate means at all. It means, and here the King James margin gives us the correct interpretation, a mind void of judgment, a mind that can't approve or disapprove. That's what reprobate means. He gave them over to that, a mind with no discernment, to do those things which are not convenient, the word meaning proper. They couldn't do what was proper. And their lives became filled not with productive industry, but with every kind of sin. So the third effect here in verse 29 and 30, 31, being filled with all unrighteousness. This is everything that is not righteous, you see. Terrible, or not so terrible, but just not righteous. And he lists them: fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, because it's all about things, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, ranked right in there with everything bad, isn't it? Disobedient to parents. Why? Because God put the parents over the children, not the medical industry and not the teachers of the public school, but parents over the children. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, implacable. And implacable, this is such a big deal. This word implacable means refuses to agree to any terms or suggestions of peace. There is no debating with these people. There is no rational argumentation with these people. If you prove your point in one thing, it says, yes, but that's just your truth. So they're not willing to change. They're not willing to even admit there could possibly be wrong. They're implacable and unmerciful if you see Christians in the hands of these people. And then the fourth consequence, their internal guilt mechanism demands that others agree with their different lifestyle. This is verse 32. Who, knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death. He says, part of this deal is that they sense the displeasure of God. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in or consent with them that do them. So it's just join hands, we agree. We're against you. You say no, we say yes, and we have the power. We have the ability. So what we're up against, my friend, is that we are dealing with the thought life that has degenerated because of a giving of sin. It started out that they just were not thankful to God and they didn't recognize him as God. And these are the necessary consequences that come. Let's see it for what it is. And this doesn't make us despise these people. This should make us pitying them because they think they're calling themselves wise, professing themselves to be wise. And we're saying, my friend, it's not wise. It's not even good. It's not healthy. You know, they're manipulating children now to want to change their genders. And this puts them at the medical mercy of for the rest of their life. You know, if you have a liver transplant, you probably have to, and lung transplant, you have to take anti-rejection medicine the rest of your life. So it is with this stuff. They are dooming these people for a life of constant medication. All right. I didn't have much argument there, just used my loud voice to emphasize it. So, all right. I don't know that I want to invite you comment on this. It's just, this is nasty stuff, and this is the path of life today. Well, let's stand together and be dismissed with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for an opportunity to understand what our culture is going through, and that it is a sad situation. It is a place that has left them promoting ignorance and demanding that it be taught. It has left them with promoting uncleanness and urging the medical community to follow along and be supportive and to urge it. We ask, Father, that you might help us to recognize that we are talking to people about salvation and a change of thinking that is just diametrically opposed to what the world is saying today. We ask that you might give us the strength, the courage, and the willingness to endure the opposition, the persecution, to stand for what is right. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.